Help KZOM Radio build towards the future. We are currently looking to expand our network and need all the help and support we can get. Please visit kzomradio.com/fundraising for details.
Hey, all you zombie fans, welcome back to another great episode of The Survivalist. My name is Matt Jarbo, and I'm here today with Charlie from Boston. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Matt. How about yourself?
Doing well. Having a lot of fun BSing about movies with you before the show. That's always good.
Absolutely.
And for all of you guys listening at home, if you're curious, we are talking about PCU and Idiocracy and why they're great. So food for thought after the show for stuff to watch. So, okay, Charlie, you are from Boston. I have not had anyone on the show from that section of the East Coast yet. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And how long have you lived there pretty much your whole life?
Yeah, I was born right outside Boston. I moved to New York for a semester and came back to live right outside the city for the rest of my 24 years.
Good. So, okay, well, I'm just going to get right down to it. How would you survive a zombie outbreak?
Just like anybody else, I live by two rules, and they're stay alive and don't get bitten.
Okay, those are good.
They sound simple, obviously, and all the zombie fanatics out there know they're not so simple. I have a major addition to the complication of staying alive and being bitten, or not being bitten, rather, is I have narcolepsy. It's not where I sleep with dead people, for those of you who think I'm sleeping with dead people. It is a sleeping disorder, so I will constantly and unexpectedly fall asleep, which, as you would expect in a zombocalypse, would be pretty disastrous.
It would create quite the challenge of survival, that's for certain.
So I can stay awake on medication. There are medications that they are not easy to get. Like, I have to go in every month, and it's a pain in the ass just to get it. They keep them in a safe in the pharmacy. So I have a couple things that I have to do just in order to survive. In a low grade, like, it's not zombies everywhere, zombocalypse, I'm staying inside, hoping the authorities can take over, and I think that I would suggest that to everybody, barricading and all that, and locking myself in a closet with some books so I don't go crazy. On a larger scale, where the military's out and, you know, it's gone to high hell and, you know, it's the end of the world, essentially, I'm still going to survive. And I'm really confident in that because I'm absolutely willing to become a drug addict and be a complete cokehead just to make sure that I can stay awake and I won't get eaten by zombies. It's got some complications again to it. Is first off, where the hell am I going to find these drugs? So I have to loot pharmacies.
Sure.
I'm not a recreational drug user. I don't condone drugs unless, you know, you're going to be eaten by a zombie.
Well, if you're going to die, you might as well, you know, go out while you're high.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, get that adrenaline rush, get it going, have a good time. It's not like, you know, if the world's ending, the rules kind of go out the window, too.
Pretty much, yeah. At that point, I don't think anyone's going to care, you know. No one's going to, like, ask for a drug test, you know, for your next job, you know, like, taking dead bodies down to the dump.
You know, chopping zombies' heads off and stuff.
Well, let me ask you this then. So if you have to be on medication and are there alternatives to the medication of that you could do? I mean, like, I'm unfamiliar with, you know, the treatments of narcolepsy.
Sure.
You know, if you're able to take, like, I mean, could you start, like, really smoking a whole bunch of meth and that would keep you up?
I joke with my other narcoleptic friends that we're all legal, you know, hopheads. What they prescribe us to speed and they prescribe us to Adderall and Ritalin. And so we're all just high all the time off of stimulants.
Nice.
And so I enjoy it. It's a good time and it's legal and it's what I'm supposed to do. And still we fall asleep throughout the day. I'll throw one more at you. I have what's called narcolepsy with cataplexy. Cataplexy is... you know when you're asleep and you wake up and you can't move your body?
Yeah.
It's called sleep paralysis. I get that randomly throughout the day, so I'll fall down. And I can't use my muscles for a little bit of a time. They treat that with very mild antidepressants. I don't know why. So I guess it's a chemical imbalance or something. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I just take the drugs. And sure. So I also have to find that. But as I get less medicated, it becomes more prevalent. So that's another complication I have to do with a zombie apocalypse.
So you'd really want to kind of stay close to, you know, some place where you could easily get access to this kind of stuff. If you don't take the if you don't take the medication, do the symptoms increase?
Oh yeah, big time. I'm the third in my family with narcolepsy, and one's undiagnosed, but we're pretty sure it is narcolepsy, and it gets, if I stay like on medication throughout the day, I'm pretty normal. I might fall asleep once or twice, just real quick.
Yeah.
Off medication, before I was diagnosed, I slept the majority of September, October, November, December. I was like a bear in hibernation. It was pretty intense.
Wow. That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, apparently, so this would definitely be like your biggest challenge.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Would be to not. Now, do you have like a girlfriend or significant other that could at least, you know, help you, or, you know, friends that would get your back? Like you couldn't go a lone wolf. There would be like no way for you to survive in a lone wolf scenario.
I would have to isolate myself and, really board it up and just stay silent if I was lone wolf. I have some really, really good friends. I've been friends with my best friend since I was 8. A couple of my other friends have been better part of a decade, and they're smart, and a lot of us are tough. I would consider those two mutually exclusive groups sometimes within my friends, but I've wrestled for 10 years, and a lot of my friends wrestled, and a lot of my other friends are just way smarter than me, so it's a good mix.
So you'd be able, so you'd have a strong support group that would be able to, like, you know, work together, you know, and at least get by. So I'm looking at this here. It says that there's about there's what, like 617,000 people in the city?
Yeah.
Roughly. And whereabouts are you located? Like, are you located in, you said the outskirts, right?
I'm actually a couple towns out. So I'm in a smaller town. It's about 32,000 people.
Okay.
The plan I've given my mother, so, because I would go to her house because it's more fortifiable, is it's 3 stories. And we have, to put it nicely, and she's going to yell at me for this, a lot of crap in the house. I've told her, because we can access the roof from the third floor, that we need to barricade the doors, blockade the stairs with all the crap that we don't need, get all our supplies into the attic, and live up there. So that'll be, it's kind of like our, this is, again, she's going to yell at me because we're Jews. It's going to be like our Anne Frank kind of style. Like,
yeah, I was already to say, this is, you know, you're talking about like Anne Frank scenario here.
Exactly. And so, you know, it's good. The blockade and the barricading of the doors will give us enough time if, you know, we get overrun, that we're going to be able to get out, let them come in, you know, light stuff on fire, whatever we have to do to get out. And we just would make sure that we travel in ones or twos, and we have a ladder, which will be able to get us up and down. I don't believe zombies would be smart enough to climb, but I do believe looters would be. And, you know, other people. But,
I always figure in a situation like that, the looters would be more of a problem than the zombies.
Yeah.
Because they have no disregard. They have no, you know, they have complete disregard for any, like, you know, let's say, quote unquote, rules of a zombie apocalypse, which is like the more noise attracts more of them. Mm-hmm. And then they can quickly amass in numbers. And that's a problem. And it's kind of like, you know, like the ending of the original Dawn of the Dead, when they break into the mall and they let all of them in.
Oh yeah.
Type situation. So yeah, that'd be what you have to worry about. But let's kind of mix it up for a second here. Let's say that you can't get to your mom's house, that you can't fortify yourself in the third story. Where would you go?
Next option would be my best friend Scott's apartment. He is, it's not ideal. I'll admit that. He's got, you know, the problem is it's a dense area with a lot of people. I believe that zombies don't run. That's my personal opinion. So it's one of those things, I got to stay protected, but he's on the 9th floor. So once we clear out the 9th floor of all, you know, of the zombies, it's going to be better. Again, I'm a big advocate for just putting a bunch of crap in the stairs and finding an alternative way down. I don't know if that's possible on the 9th floor, but much like in 28 Days Later when he's in the riot suit and they arrive at that apartment.
Yeah.
It makes it so much harder for the zombies to get to and for people to get to. So you have the time to get out and use your escape plan.
Well, plus the great thing is, I mean, in the non-running zombie apocalypse, if that same scenario was to happen, you know, they were in 28 Days Later, they were infected. You know, yeah. they were full on, you know, raging and running up the stairs, and Brendan Gleeson's like, kick, you know, like F off and everything. So, you know, there's that. So, so you'd stay at your friend's house, but is he prepared for like long term, you know?
No, I'm the one who's prepared for long term. This is my lone wolf scenario. I actually recently have started stalking. I have a walk-in closet that I don't use as a closet. It's now becoming more of a pantry. It's started with just water and shelves. It holds my tools, which I can't use a sword. I can't use any of that. So my weapons are tools. Like I would much rather use a crowbar and a Louisville slugger than, you know, a katana, because I cut my own leg off with the damn.
Those are more. It's more practical to use a bat or a machete or things of that nature than a katana, because most people don't know how to use them anyway. So
yeah, I've never been like a graceful person. I'm more of the bash and go kind of guy.
Sure.
And I also believe, you know, you don't need to kill the zombie to get away. Again, my rules are stay alive and don't get bitten. So if I can get the hell out of there by running, that's what I do. I have my longboard right by the door. Because I can get, you know, up to like 15 miles an hour on smooth enough roads and downhill, and no zombie's going to be catching me at 15 miles an hour. And I can go for long distances on my longboard. My main goal, and this would be my lone wolf scenario, is, you know, I'm going to have at least 3-4 cases of water, a bunch of canned food. I have my tools in there. Again, my longboard, which the trucks can double as a weapon. And then I would have my clothes right across the way, which I have a leather jacket. I've got my thick jeans, my steel-toed boots, all that stuff. So I make sure I'm well protected.
So you wouldn't have really much to worry about, you know, them like, you know, accidentally scratching you or you know, or biting you. They'd have to really like knock you down to get you. So okay, so let's listen. If you had to leave the city, you know, where do you think you would go if you couldn't stay?
I used to work on this farm. It's in a town called Dover. It's a less populated town. It's one of those really rich towns, so you only see driveways, you don't see houses.
Okay. I understand that.
And I worked on a farm that I know the, you know, kind of, they're not exactly secret passages, but they're not very apparent passages. And I know where all the supplies are. There is a hayloft, which would suck because I'm allergic to hay and I'd sneeze all the time, but you know, better than dying. I'd get up there, I'd barricade it, and what I would do is I'd start looting the grocery store and supplying up there, all that. And there is a prison down the street. I'm a big advocate to getting into the prison during a zombie apocalypse. The reason is it's an isolated population. You run the risk of, you know, a guard coming in infected and biting the inmates.
Yeah.
But it's a lot less likely because they're behind bars. Now you run your own risk of having to deal with inmates, but this is a medium or low security prison. It's not going to have your killers and your violent offenders.
No, it's going to have like your blue collar criminals.
Oh yeah, your potheads, you know, your drunk drivers, all that. So they're not terrible people. I still am not excited to go, but then this is setting up for the long term. You know, it's got land I can cultivate. It's got the ability to make a well. It's got room for livestock. And, you know, if the undead get in there, I can close down sections so we can lock them off. It also has a cache of weapons, and it's really off the beaten path. So that's my ultimate goal. Is I want to get to, it's called Dedham Prison. It's a couple towns away from Dover, but it's right down the street.
Hmm. So I mean, that sounds like a pretty good plan. But we're definitely running low on time here. So I'm just gonna ask you the last question I ask everyone on the show, which is, if you were bit, what would you do?
I don't think I could off myself. I would elect to tie myself down, chain myself up, whatever. Put a warning up before that, and if I have someone who I don't know that well or a loved one who's willing to do it, have them shoot me.
That's probably the best.
Yeah, I'm kind of a wuss. I really like living. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, plus you got to find that one person who's willing to pull the trigger, which is always a task within itself.
Oh, yeah.
But that is all the time we have for today. Charlie, thank you very much for being here. Your plan for going to the prison.
Do you mind if I plug one thing before we go?
Yeah, feel free. Plug whatever you want.
They're doing a sleepwalk in Washington, D.C. for narcolepsy awareness.
Sure.
I'm just pulling up the stuff now, and it's through an organization called Wake Up Narcolepsy. Check it out. It's a pub crawl. It should be a lot of fun, and it's for a good cause.
Yeah, send me a link for that, and I'll put it in the show notes when the show goes. When is the event?
I have no idea, because I'm not going down to New York. It's too far for me.
Okay.
Sorry.
No. It's interesting. Just we'll figure it out, and we'll put it up on the site.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, you're welcome. Everyone listening at home, be sure to tune in next week for another great episode of The Survivalist. You guys can find more information at survivalist.com or on kzomradio.com or kzomradio on Facebook and Twitter. Hell, just Google it. You'll find it all over the place. My name is Matt Jarboe. I'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.